Bishus Marina, Rav Shlita, a lot of us are not able in our lives to perform the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. Either it's because our first child is a daughter, or it's because, or some other reason, it might not be a normal birth. But if, Kohen, Levi, but if, if one is not able to perform a mitzvah, and my first child was a daughter, then we know that if you learn about the mitzvah, it's as if you've kept it. Im lavon garati, tariyak mitzvah shamati, said Yaakov Avinu. He couldn't keep all the 613 mitzvahs, but he learnt about them. It is as if he carried them out. So, I couldn't perform it. My brother was able to perform it. My nephew was able to perform it. My father was able to perform it, but I didn't. So, by learning about it, it's as if I've been able to do the mitzvah. And in fact, there are very few births which end up with a Pidyon HaBen, because, well, it first of all has to be a Bechor, a firstborn male. And so, if not only if the, a parent is a Kohen or Levi, but if the mother's a Bas Kohen or Bat Levi, then I think statistically it's less than 10% of births which end up with a... Is it 2%? Oh, has it been actually worked out accurately? 2% of births. And we just read in yesterday, Sedra in Parshas Bo, Kadesh li kol b'chor peter recha kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael bodom v'abeim alihu. And this comes together with the makkah of makkas b'choros, when Hashem carried out the 10th plague, ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo sof, ani hu v'lo acher, as we say in the Haggadah, Hashem did it himself, atz ba'atzmo. He carried out the makkah of makkas b'choros against the Egyptians, and this mitzvah is a zecher to the makkas b'choros which took place. And there are a number of reasons given for Pidyon HaBen. So it's in memory of that miracle, zecher l'neis, that the Jewish firstborn were not killed in makkas b'choros. There's the idea of reishis peri, just like we bring the reishis of Bikurim and the reishis Ariso Seichem, there's the idea of reishis bereishis, that the first child is dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way as a special holiness, and we have to redeem that child in order that that child can continue in a normal daily life. There is the mystical idea from the Zohar that there are two reshuyos in a person, which is the one of life and the one of death, and by performing this mitzvah it takes away the negative aspect, the moves. Well, there's a particular inyan about the first. Kain and Hevel, Esav and Yaakov, where there is a certain zuma, a certain spiritual sweat, as it were, which is cast upon the first. And that's why there's the idea of Pidyon HaBen dafka by the Bechor. There's a kaporov to the machiras Yosef, the selling of Yosef by his brothers, who, although the pasuk said Esrim Kesef, the Mefarshim say is the equivalent of 5 saloim, which is the amount which is paid to the Kohen. And there are other ideas. It's a certain kapora, a kapora for sins which one has done as one's youth, and we'll go into that a little bit later. We also have a pasuk from Parshas, from Bamidbar Yudches, pasuk Tesaim, Ufudiyog Mibin Chodesh Tifte Be'ekho Kesef Chameshes Shekolim B'Shekel HaKodesh. So there the actual currency and amount is given. There says in Perek Zayin, Hashem says, listen, I did away with Egypt's firstborn, so every other Bechor is something special. There's a certain Kedusha bestowed upon other Bechorim, and they have a special holiness attached to them. So why is the Pidyon HaBen done from the Kohen, who is from Shevet Levi? So we know from Bamidbar Rabba, Dalet Ches, that originally the firstborn were the ones who were earmarked for carrying out the Avodah, for being the Kohuna. It wasn't originally meant to be Shevet Levi. It was meant to be the firstborn. That's why Yaakov wanted to buy the firstborn from Esav, because he wanted to carry out the Avodah. But the firstborn disqualified themselves because of the Egel Azov. By the Maaseh HaEgel, they were no longer considered fit to carry out the Avodah, and it was handed out to Shevet Levi, who did not take part in the Egel Azov. And Hashem says, as it says in Bamidbar Rabbah, because you sold Yosef for the Esrim Kesef, the Chamesha Shekolim, you all have to redeem your Bechor for 5 Siloim. And the Rashbam says that the Bechor has a special Kedusha, which you can then remove by the Pidyon HaBen. And then you might ask, well, why do you want to remove it? Why can't you let it stay? We'll come to that. But then you will be able to be Mosif on the Kedusha by his own Torah and Mitzvahs, keeping them himself. The Zohar also says that when we do a Pidyon HaBen, it's awaking Hashem's mercy to redeem Klal Yisrael. Just like he redeemed us with the Makkah of Becharos in Mitzrayim, so he will redeem us in the future by us performing the Mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. B'ni Bechari Yisrael. We are regarded as Becharim in total. The Sefer HaChinuch writes on the Mitzvah that Hashem gives us the zechus to do this mitzvah, Bereishis Pirio, because we are all His, and as we have said before, Reishis Ariso Seichem, the beginning of anything belongs to Hashem, and in fact everything belongs to Hashem. So somebody once asked me about Korbanos, what lessons does it teach to us? I said, well, it teaches us that nothing belongs to us, everything belongs to Hashem. And he then said to me, well, can you think of any other mitzvah where we learn that? And it worked out that you realize that every single mitzvah of the Torah, in a way, is to teach you that nothing belongs to us and everything belongs to Hashem. They actually fast on Erev Pesach. Why? Because they were saved from being killed amongst the other Bechorim, that they were selected out, as it were, and by being selected out, they were given a special Kedusha. So we might ask, what zechus do the firstborn get to be called holy, apart from what we said about Makkas Bechoros? The Sava Mikelm says an interesting idea. He says, you know, really, the Jewish firstborn in Mitzrayim, they did nothing. What were they doing to achieve this special status of holiness which was cast upon them in Makkas Bechoros? They just sat and did nothing, and they just simply were not killed. So he says, because they were passively involved in the Chastei Hashem, they were nevertheless instrumental in demonstrating the miracle, because part of the miracle was the fact that the Jewish firstborn were not killed. If the Jewish firstborn were not killed, they were passively involved in what was a Kiddush Hashem. So because they caused the Kiddush Hashem passively, they still got a Kedusha. So Kal v'chomer, if a person actively creates a Kiddush Hashem, here were the firstborn who did nothing to create a Kiddush Hashem, and they were given a status of holiness. So we're also, every single one of us, b'chor or not a b'chor, if we do something active with our maisim, with our deeds, with tzedakah, whatever it is, and we make a Kiddush Hashem, then all the more so we will be attaining a level of Kedusha upon ourselves. Well, some practical ideas about the halacha, kol peterechem, it says. So if the child is born in a different way, like cesarean, it does not get a Pidyon HaBen. Although if the child is pulled out by tweezers, it still has its Pidyon HaBen. If a child is born with artificial insemination...
Forceps,
that's it. Forceps, thank you. But if a child is born with a method of artificial insemination, there is still a Pidyon HaBen. So says Tzavah Smachos Kaf Gimel. And the Kohen receives his 5 Siloim. It's income, bit of income on the side for the Kohen. And I recall being told that Rav Monk, Zeich Tzadik Livracha, used to declare on his tax return the 5 Siloim he got for each Pidyon HaBen, because it was a genuine income, and he was an honest Yekah. So why 5 Siloim? 5 Siloim, 5 Keneged the Chamisha Chumshei Sara, a person is redeeming himself by conforming to the Torah. Every single person, by conforming to the Torah, is redeeming himself in front of Hashem. And a person is sanctifying himself by using his 5 senses: seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, feeling. So there's the idea of 5 as well. Now the Ari HaKadosh says that one who attends a Pidyon HaBen is regarded as having fasted 84 times. So great is the mitzvah, not just of performing a Pidyon HaBen, but if you actually manage to go to one. And this is brought down in the Shutz Emek Yahshua, Perek Gimel Yudches. One who attends a Pidyon HaBen is regarded as having fasted 84. Now the Stei Chemed casts a little doubt on this, because he says, I never saw any source for this myself, But lo ra'inu en araya, that's no proof. And this is brought down by a number of other mystics. So what is this idea of as if one has fasted 84 times? So just fairly recently, I was lucky to be able to attend a pidyon aven which my nephew was making in Toronto. And he said to me, you know, he said, I'm very honoured, but you know, people come abroad for a wedding, but for a pidyon aven, you come all this way. So I said to him, yeah, but I'm getting 84 fasts out of it. Ah, he said, I wondered if you had an ulterior motive. Well, the 84, how do we know 84? So it says in Bamidbar, Perek Gimel, in Pasuk Mem Tes, where it's talking about the numbers of Bechorim, Kachas Halevim, Tachas Kol Bechor B'vnei Yisrael, etc. And it talks about the Peduyim on the number of Bechorim. And there it says, Vayikach Moshe Es Kesef HaPidyon. And later on in the next, in Pasuk Nun Aleph, Vayitein Moshe Es Kesef HaPidyuyim, La'aron Ulevonov. And Pidyon or Piduyim is spelt Pei Dalad Yom, 84 days. Similarly, in the Sedra of Va'era we said for Samti Fadus, and Fadus talking about redemption, and the redemption coming with Makos Becharos, Pei Dalad there. And Pidyon, I mean, the word Pidyon is Pei Dalad, starts with Pei Dalad Yom, 84 days. And the Shutz Shem Mishimon says that when a person has done an Aveira of Pagam HaBris, that the Tikkun is 84 fasts, and that is also achieved by attending a Pidyon HaBeh. And there's a Rosh Tevis which is brought in the Sefer Hari Basamim, where it says, V'chol b'chor odom b'vanecha tifteh. He says, "Imdove me'ap vidyon ben nenis yechoshiv ki ilu tanisim peidala datanis." He does a play on all the Rosh Tevis to say that there are 84 fasts. So, if one can go, that's great. But it's not frequent that one is able to go. But nevertheless, there is a custom of giving out people, giving home presents at a pidyon aven of a clove of garlic. The minhag actually is to wrap up garlic with some sugar. I couldn't find any source for the sugar, but maybe it's just to sweeten the effects. Pardon? It's to sweeten the effects of the garlic. So what is this business that people take home a piece of garlic from the pidyon haben? The Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Siman Tov Tes talked about the din of Eruv Techumin. We once discussed Eruv Techumin, and the din of Eruv Techumin, in order to walk on Shabbos a further 2,000 amos, you make the equivalent of two meals away, 2,000 amos outside the town. And it's a bit of a bother, because if there's a whole number of you, you have two meals for each and every person. So you've got to have a nice stack of food out there, wrapped in a tin to stop the animals getting at it. And the halacha there says that if something very sharp, even though it's small, is put out instead of the two meals, that counts as the Eruv Techumin. That counts as the two meals. So in order not to overwhelm the host by giving people lots of food to take home, because he wants everybody else to share in the mitzvah, so that everybody is as if they have fasted 84 times. So in order to give as many people this achus of having fasted 84 times, you give them a meal to take home with them for other people. But it's too much of a schlep to give them a whole meal to take home. So what do? You give them a clove of garlic. Because the clove of garlic in Hilchos Eruv Techumin has the same effect as the two meals to perform the mitzvah of Eruv Techumin. So you take home a piece of garlic. Some have the meaning of taking home a piece of challah. So the sugar will sweeten the effect of it. In order to honor the mitzvah, there's the custom to adorn the baby very nicely, and the women are asked to take off their jewelry to adorn the tray. A worthwhile risk to take. It's a hidur mitzvah, and it shows chavivus of the mitzvah. Just like there's an inyan that when one brings the bikurim to the Kohen, the Beis HaMikdosh, one adorns the basket nicely. Now a couple of people have mentioned to me this minhag of washing Tahar Motzi first, and that during the meal the actual pigeon takes place. Henry mentioned it to me already last month, David Friedman mentioned it to me this morning, that in the pigeon up then, the minag is to sit down and wash for motzi for the Sudas Mitzvah, and then to do the pigeon up then. It's not ma'akev, but that is the minag which is brought down in the Maharil, that one actually does it this way. One washes for motzi first, everyone's sitting down, and then after motzi, the Kohen is sitting down with the Avi Aben, comes along with the baby and performs the procedure. So why is that? Well, the Sefer Pidyon Aben La'alocha brings down the reason from the Mahari Brunner that it gives better publicity and glorification to the mitzvah. It's more dignified that everybody's sitting down at the table rather than everyone's pushing around and talking on their mobile phones. But I heard something interesting this morning from David Friedman, thank you David, and that it's a zecher to what happened with the Mechiras Yosef. One of the reasons we said on Pidyon Aben is a kapara for the brothers selling their brother Yosef, and they were in the middle of a meal when they did it. And so we are doing this in the middle of a meal as well. Shkoich David. So the actual procedure, you don't have the Siddurim in front of you, but I'll read out the relevant bits. The Avi Aben, the father of the child, comes along to the Kohen and says, Zebani Bechari, this is my firstborn son, who peterechem le'imo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzivo liftau, so Hashem commanded me to redeem him, Shemem, as it says, Ufadiyov mi ben chodesh tifte, be'ekho kesef chamesh shkolim b'shek la'kodesh, estrim geirahu, that's from Bamid by Yud Ches, v'neem, as it says, and yesterday's parasha bo, kadesh niko b'char, peter kol rechem b'nei sobat, odom v'vehim alihu. So the Kohen asks him a question. The Kohen says, asking him, in fact, a very strange question. The Kohen says, my boy Stefei, what do you want more? Litzei mi bincha b'charcha? Do you want to give me your firstborn son, Shu Peterechem le'imo, who is the firstborn Peterechem to his mother? O boy Stefei, ba'ad chamesh salayim. Or would you rather redeem him for the five salayim? Like the Torah requires you. So what's going on here? The Torah is, the Kohen is asking this question, what do you prefer? There's a chiyuv min haTorah that you redeem your firstborn son. You have to do it. And yet the Kohen is saying, well, what do you want to do? Shall I keep the baby for myself? Or would you rather pay me five salim and I'll let you have him back? There's something very strange about this. And the Achronim ask on this question. The Pische Teshuva says, he says, Ein haperush. That's not the meaning, shenosin lo haperera, that he's giving him some sort of choice. Shari im rotzo avlo niach aben. If the father would say, yeah, okay, I don't really want him, you keep him. Criminal action, dumping the child. Ein ayotze bezeh. Then the father has not fulfilled his mitzvah daraisa. If he says, well, actually, okay, now that you give me the choice, you can have him. I've got, I'll have more children in future. Oh, he screams at night. He's a bit noisy for me.
How about the father? He would say, well, I won't be the five star. What can you do?
All right, so the father says, all right, let's negotiate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Torah doesn't allow that. The Torah actually specifies the amount of money, five salim, which in present-day terminology is 93 grams of silver. Well, the minhag is to give 100 grams of silver, and it's got to be real silver, not this messy coinage you've got from Her Majesty the Queen. So, what's going on here? So the Pische Teshuva writes, Elokadela Chavev HaPidyon, in order to make the father enthusiastic that he carries out the mitzvah al Oviv, Omer Kein Lasis Lo Cheshek Liftose. He should have a shtickle Cheshek in doing the mitzvah, saying, yes, I want to do it. What does it mean, I want to do it? Everybody wants to do mitzvahs. Even a man who's supposed to give his wife a get, who refuses to give a get, the Rambam says, well, deep down he really wants to give a get. It's just the Yetzer Hara which is stopping him. You know, it's got to be done, and it shouldn't be forced, and this shouldn't be forced. So, the idea is this. A person might resent having to pay five slimes. Well, it's my child, why should I pay for him? You know, child labour. It's alright, he's not disturbing. We welcome the youngsters. Well, if you haven't redeemed him yet, you can redeem him straight away. No problem. We've got a Cohen present. If a person feels he is onus and he grudgingly gives the five salayim, then he hasn't redeemed his child properly. Because if the father feels onus, then the child isn't redeemed properly. And there are severe consequences possibly, because if the child's not redeemed properly, then the mystics say that Hashem will say, alright, I'll take the child away from you. And we don't want that to happen, do we? So that is why the question is put by the Kohen to the Avi Aben, my boy Stafay, in order to make sure that the person knows what is going on. And there is another aspect to this. If the person is an Amoretz, that's the Avi Aben, doesn't really understand what the procedure is all about, and you might just think, oh well, it's like, you know, like a tax to pay, and you might not understand the idea of redemption, so it's to put into his mind the idea that he is redeeming his son with redemption, and a person should understand the language, so that if a person doesn't understand the language of my boy Stafay, then the Maharil says that he should understand the language, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in Minchas Shlomo Samach Beis, he says, if the father's an Amoretz, then you should give it to him in his language. He shouldn't think it's just some form of tzedakah. And that is an emphasis on why the Kohen is asking this question of my boy Stafay. I mean, it's not even the Kohen's baby. If the Kohen says, would you rather I had him? It's not the Kohen's right to actually take the baby as such. And the Trumas HaDeshen says that the father hasn't done anything if he just leaves the baby. If he doesn't pay the 5 Sevarim, it's not that it then belongs to the Kohen. The child still has a certain Kedusha, but that Kedusha should not be retained because it should be taken away in order to be replaced with another kind of Kedusha. A Kedusha which comes from Omer V'Yagia, from one's own personal efforts. So to show that it's a proper Matana and there's a desire to give the money, this is the way it's done, that one shows the will. And the Chut Hasheni says, we're worried about the consequences for the child if it doesn't have a proper Pidyon HaBen. And there is conversely an assurance of good health for the child if it has had a proper Pidyon HaBen.
Can the Kohen walk in and force the father to do the
Pidyon? The Beis Din can coerce a father to do the Pidyon. It's written that if a father doesn't want to do it, the Beis Din can. The Kohen can't coerce, but the Beis Din does. And there is a problem because the mitzvah has to be done directly by the father. It can't be via a shliach, unlike Bris Milah. And the mitzvah is not at all on the mother, it's on the father.
Or the person.
The person, it is on the person, but not until he's bar mitzvah. If it hasn't been done yet, then a person has a duty to redeem himself, to come to the Kohen and to pay the 5 Sevarim. Yeah, and that has happened often where, especially Bali Tshuva, they will have to come to the Kohen and they redeem themselves. Kol peter rechimimo. Every wife you have, you will do pidyon haben for each. Yeah, for each bechor. That's right. And so Yosef was the peter rechim of Rachel. So he was a bechor, even though he was, you know, one of the youngest. The Chidor writes that there's a guarantee for health of the child if the father does not, if the father does not ask for the money back. Now, what often happens is that. You get the coins yourself, special silver coins, and you give them to the Kohen, and afterwards the Kohen often gives them back. He's allowed to give them back, but you can't ask for them back, and you can't do an alman aslahachse that I give them to you on condition you give them back. And there is a Gemara in Becheras, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, about Rabbi Chanina, who was a Kohen, and he used to give the money back, saying, here you are, here's a present, here's a present for the child, go towards his marriage expenses. And there was somebody, though, who, having heard that Rabbi Chanina always gives the money back, felt a bit puzzled that he didn't get his back. So he was wondering in front of Rabbi Chanina, the Beis HaMedrash, the whole time, as if sort of saying, hello, how are you? Without actually saying, can I have my money back? And Rabbi Chanina knew what was going on, so Rabbi Chanina said to him, you're not Yotze your mitzvah. If you want your money back, you're not Yotze the Pidyon HaBen, you have to do it again. So that's a lesson to learn.
But why did he do it with everybody else, though?
He got on well with them. We're not told by the Gemara. And why is it that you can't have a shliach to do the Pidyon HaBen for you? The Aruch HaShulchan says that it's the Lashon of the Pasuk. The Lashon of the Pasuk is that it's explicit that you do it when it says Tifteh, you will redeem. And there's the same idea with Haforos Nedarim, Ishah Yekeimenu. If the husband has to do the Haforos Nedarim, it can't be done via Shliach. Whereas Bris Milah, there is no such Lashon used. It says, he shall be circumcised on the eighth day, and therefore you can have a Shliach. But I heard another idea from my son Uriel, who said that he heard this, I think, from a teacher in Menorah Grammar School, that just like Hashem said, Ani Elov Malach, I'm doing the Makas Becharis myself, Ani Evlo Shluach, Ani Hu Velo Acher, that is why the Pidyon HaBen is also done directly by the father and cannot be done via a Shliach. Now, when is Pidyon HaBen actually taking place? It says Miben Chodesh, when the child is a month old, so we say it should be done on the 31st day, and a lot of people make a mistake and they think they can do it on the 30th day because they think the 30th day, part of a day, is like a whole day, like we say with Bris and Avelus and other things, but that's not the case. The Sefer Yerem says it should be after 29 days, 12 hours and 793 chalokim, which is the length of a calendar month. But most poskim hold, Chodesh means 30 days, and the Sefer Eshkol says it should be on the 31st day. And although some say it should be May Eis La Eis for the full 24-hour periods of 30 days, often it doesn't work out that way. Even though it's on the 31st day, you don't always get May Eis La Eis, but that does not matter according to most poskim. Although,
so do you count the same as born as day one or
day one?
Yes, you do. That is the first day. That is the first day. But if he was born late in the afternoon, then you've got a problem with May Eis La Eis if he was born in the late afternoon, especially in the summer. I've got my grandson who was born on Erev Shavuos at 10 to 9 in the evening, and it was still daylight. So if you do a May Eis La Eis there, it's very difficult. So the question is, if you can you do your Pidyon HaBen on the 31st day, but in the evening? So the 31st day of my nephew was making, and also I had a friend locally whose son was making a Pidyon HaBen recently, and the 31st day was the Thursday night, Friday. So can you make the Pidyon HaBen on the Thursday night, even though it's not full May Eis La Eis, but it is the 31st day? Now the Sfaradim have the minhag to say, yes, you do it straight away in the evening, because the reason Makdim of the Mitzvahs. And I know that in this Hendon case, which took place in the Israel, the Rav said it could be done in the evening, because it's a bit problem on a Friday, especially if it's a short Friday, and people got to rush off to make Shabbos, and you want the women to come along and make a nice Uda, so make it on the Thursday night, and the Rav paskens it could be done. But many of the Ashkenazi minhag hold that one should wait till daytime. It should be done in daytime, even though that means a Friday morning. So the one I went to, which was Thursday night, and I went to another one on a Friday morning. The Friday morning was also the 31st day, and it was a bit rushed, but it was a breakfast, and it was very nice, and that is generally the minhag of the Ashkenazim, so says the Ginas Rodim Vav Yud. Now, if the child has not yet had a bris, can we make the Pidyon HaBen? We do. But the Shaila is asked in the poskim. We don't delay it. If the child's not well for some reason and the bris is delayed, you say, there's a minhag to say, Kishen Shenichmas the Pidyon HaBen, Keinik Hones Librismila Latera Lechupa Lamaisim Tovin. If the child is in hospital, one can redeem the child even in his absence. The child hasn't actually got to be there, Bidiyevit. But if the father's abroad, he can do it with a Kohen who's abroad when the child is back home. But what if the child is healed and ready for his bris on the 31st day? Which do you do first? Bris. Do you do the bris or do you do the Pidyon HaBen?
I wasn't one.
You were one? Yeah. What happened? The bris was first.
Then you washed and did the bris.
And you had one suitor for the lot. Well, the question is asked by the Yabia Omer, Rav Avadia Yosef, in Chelek Vav of his Tshuvas, Simon Kaf Hei. If the child is healed on the first day, which do you do first? So he starts with a Hava Mina that maybe the Pidyon HaBen should be first. Why? Because it's the appointed time. The Ikar Bizmano. And since it's the appointed time and the bris is not its appointed time, so you do the bris is still on that day, so he says maybe you do the Pidyon first. It's like davening Mincha and Musaf in the afternoon. If you are delayed with Musaf, you do Mincha first because the Ikar Zman is of Mincha, and then you do the Musaf, even though the Musaf should have been done in the morning. Tadir Shaina Tadir is a question which comes up, but what do you call Tadir here?
Generally,
amongst the population. Yeah, the Tadir is that you'll do the bris before the Pidyon HaBen. But that doesn't seem to be the determining factor. I mean, what about a Rosh Hashanah, when you've got a din of shofar and you've got to do a bris milah? Which do you do first? Do you do the bris milah first or do you do the shofar first? They're both Ikar Bizmano. They're both like Tadir, aren't they?
Bris milah.
So, We paskin there, we do the bris milah first. Why? Because when you're doing a bris milah, that's a fundamental starter to one's Yiddishkeit. When you're doing a bris milah, that's the acceptance of the Kabbalah of the Malchus. when you, the Shach writes in Sifkat Yud Beis on the Siman on Pidgin Aben, he says when you are doing Bris Milah, that is an acceptance of Kabbalas Al Malchus Shemayim even more than any other mitzvah, because it's so fundamental to one's Yiddishkeit. And so you do the Bris Milah first, and after you've done the Kabbalas Al Malchus, you do the Kabbalah of the Gezeiros of Hashem's rules, which is the Pidgin Aben. Therefore, you're going to do the Bris Milah first, and you do the Pidgin Aben second. But there are others who argue, you know, Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shata, that this is the way the halacha is, that we do the Bris Milah first. Now, what if it turns out that it's discovered afterwards that the Kohen desecrates Shabbos? He's Mechalot Shabbos. The question comes up, in fact, more frequently with Chasnas. It's discovered afterwards that one of the Edim is a Mechalot Shabbos. Was there a kosher Kiddushin? And I've had experience of a case where somebody came up to me at a wedding after the chuppah and said, "You know, did you know who was the one of the Edim?" I said, "No." This was a chasna abroad in Switzerland, and there was a bit of worry afterwards about the fact that it turned out that one of the Edim was a mechalel Shabbos. Now it's true that the Binyan Tzion holds that nowadays there is no such thing as a mechalel Shabbos b'fahes. Yeah. Nowadays we say a person is tinok shenishba, he doesn't know better, he's opening his shop because he wants to earn a livelihood, and he's not mamish neged Hashem la'achis keneged Hashem. There is that view that nowadays there's no such thing. But the shaila does come up in the Shevet Halevi, Rav Vosna, in Chelek Beis, Kufayim Beis, where he's asked the question where it turns out that the Kohen was someone who publicly desecrated the Shabbos, and he says, look, Pidgin Aben is one of the 24 Matnas Kohana, as the Rambam writes, lists 24 Matnas Kohana, and that's one of them. And the Kohen who is accepting the Matnas Kohana has to be, he's a member of the club, and when you're a member of the club, you've got to keep to the rules of the club. And if you don't keep to the rules of the club, then you're disqualified. Which means that it's an invalid Pidgin Aben. So says the Shevet Halevi. He says, also the Tzorech Lachzor v'Liftos, you have to do the Pidgin Aben again.
Does he have to get the money back?
Ah, you could sue for fraudulent misrepresentation to get the money back from the first Kohen, but I don't think you'll get very far. That's not an issue. He could do teshuva, but he, listen, I was once sitting in a front room of a Rav, and he was on the telephone, and somebody was asking him, if a guy is married out, does he still have to keep mezuzah? So the Rav went into a scream. He was outraged. He said, what are you talking about? Of course he's got to keep mezuzah. He's got to keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah. The fact that he's living with a shiksa means he hasn't got to keep mezuzah. It doesn't cut him from anything else. He's got to do teshuva and leave the shiksa. Okay. But he's still got to, in the meantime, he's still got to keep Shabbos and he's still got to keep mezuzah and kashrus and, I won't say taras hamishpacha then. But he's got to keep all the mitzvahs and he's got to do teshuva. So if the father is not keeping the mitzvahs properly, but he does Pidgin Aben, he's got to do Pidgin Aben kehilchoso. Obviously, he's got to do it in every way possible.
The time was, he can still do it. So why should he then be invalidated in terms of Pidgin?
I didn't say if the Kohen is an Amar Oretz. I said if the Kohen is a Mechal Shabbos Daraisa, the Fahesia. If a Kohen is Mechal Shabbos in public, if he's in private Mechal Shabbos, we don't even give him that qualification. It's when he's openly doing Melacha, or if he's opening his shop, that's called Mechal Shabbos.
Then
he's not allowed to duchen, right?
Does he not
duchen
in that case?
No.
The Kohen is disqualified for many things. There's probably certain places which are... Which are trying to avoid embarrassment, but yeah. Well, the bottom line is that many Rabbonim rely on this Binyan Tzion, that there is no such thing nowadays as a Mechalel Shabbos b'fahesya, and that if people are doing Averis, they're doing them b'shogeg, they're doing them inadvertently, or they're doing them because they don't understand properly, they don't know better, and there are many Hatayim around to enable us to say there is no such thing as a Mechalel Shabbos Vesia nowadays, because it makes a lot of problems also with kashrus, you know, and all sorts of halachas in Yeridea which would be affected if somebody is a Mechalel Shabbos Vesia, not just Kohen but any Jew.
If a Kohen marries a divorcee, he doesn't understand the true implications, so he just all doesn't.
There's
a specific sense he's not allowed.
I don't think they'll let him. So, there's an interesting piece of Darkei Musa which we're going to end off with. The Sefer Darkei Musa speaks about yesterday's Parsha Kaddish Likol Bechor, and he asks a very fundamental question about Pidgin HaBen. He says, why is it that we are trying to remove this Kedusha from the Kohen, from the Bechor? The Bechor has a Kedusha, which is being released, as it were, at the time of the Pidgin HaBen. But really, why should we want to take away Kedusha? If a Bechor has a special Kedusha, surely that's a wonderful thing. So he says, it's not such a wonderful thing. There are two kinds of Kedusha which people have had. When Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, they reached to Memtesh Shari Tumah, but when they came out into the Midbar, Hashem elevated them to the highest form of Kedusha, of Kedusha of Nevuah, in order that they may receive the Torah. It was put to them on a plate. But what happened after that? They sunk. They sunk to the low level of complaining that they don't have watermelons and onions and cucumbers to eat. And that is the level they got to, even though they were such great people. Whereas when you look at the Nevi'im, he says, the Nevi'im who reached such great elements of Kedusha, they did not fall into these elements of complaining about what was on their menu. That didn't happen. Why? Because they reached their Kedusha by Omel V'Yagio, by working hard at it. Kedusha doesn't easily come on a plate. Kol B'nei Yisrael Kedoshim Heim. Okay, everybody has a Kedusha, everyone has a Yedi Yidot HaNashoma. Fine. But in order for us to attain a spiritual height of becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to work on it. And nothing comes without us working on it. So that Kedusha is taken away from the Bechor in order that he may retain an even greater Kedusha. But he's got to work for it. And it's not just the Bechor, it's each and every one of us who might not be a Bechor. The only way we can attain Kedusha is not by the Yichus saying, oh well, I'm descended from so-and-so, so I'm really great. Yichus, better it starts with you than it ends with you. The way that you achieve Gadlus and even Ruach HaKodesh or Nevuah is by Omel V'Yagiyah and by working on it. And that is a lesson that we learn from Pidgin HaBen, where the child is born with a Kedusha and it's physically, actively taken away from him, and you're mechuyev to take it away from him in the Seder of Pidgin HaBen. You can't leave him as he is. Even though you appear to be given a choice of my boys to Faye, that choice is not the real choice. It's just to make sure you're doing the mitzvah properly. And with that message we can carry with us, even if we don't have the zechus of performing the mitzvah Pidgin HaBen individually, we can learn about it and we can take with it the lesson that we can all reach this Omel V'Yagiyah and High Kedusha which we are aspiring to, which the Bechor aspires to. Thank you very much.